Okay, it's now appropriate to come back in session. Can we have a motion?
A motion to reconvene the hearing.
Second it.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's passed.
Hey, Ms. Murray, before you start with your first witness, I've just been informed by one of the board members that he serves on the Sussex Tech School Board, and he has a school board meeting at 5 p.m. So one of the things that we need to determine is whether or not we're going to need another day, and maybe after approximately an hour or so, we can revisit the issue, because we want you to have the full amount of time that you need to put on your case, and if we need, after a certain witness, then reconvene for another day, we can do that. But let's, after maybe 1 hour, visit that issue, okay?
If I could just clarify, I'm a district official with Sussex Tech, not on the board.
But I think the board's going to require him to be there. I think the message.
Right. Now, we may have some rebuttal witnesses as well.
Okay.
So I think trying to jam it in is probably going to be difficult.
Okay. So from what I'm hearing from both is that more than likely we are going to have to reconvene for another day after a certain period of time. But I just wanted to bring that up now. So if you wanted to arrange the calling of your witnesses accordingly, you could do so. Okay?
And someone was buzzing in my ear when you spoke. I'm sorry.
I just said I'll have some rebuttal witnesses possibly, so I don't think we can get
to that. I don't think we're going to be done today.
Right.
That's
okay.
That's my read.
Sure. Okay. So if you would like to call your first witness.
Thank you. And actually, I spoke with Mr. Willoughby. Sorry, step up. Getting there. I spoke with Mr. Willoughby. I had a witness here earlier, Christopher Malik, who is a friend of Deputy Torres, the mechanic. And I actually had an affidavit prepared that I would like to read into the record. Because he's not here to testify. What I'm wondering now is if we're definitely going to continue into tomorrow, whether I should read the affidavit into the record or call the witness.
Well, I do not anticipate it being tomorrow, because we have Sussex County Council meeting tomorrow. So I'm not sure what day, that if it would have to be Wednesday or whatever day. Plus, we have to look at the board member's schedule to determine when they can come back. So maybe what we can do in roughly an hour, we take a recess and let the two attorneys and the board and myself, we can kind of huddle and come up with a suitable time for reconvening.
I just want to say it is an informal hearing, so I don't have an objection to the affidavit being put in the record for the board to look at. Of course, I would like the opportunity to cross-examine Mr. Malik, depending on the day that we come back. But I do not have an objection if a copy of the affidavit is put in rather than reading it. I think that'd be the better approach.
Well, and I would actually prefer to have the live testimony than the affidavit.
That's your choice. You don't have to put it in.
Okay. Then at that point, then I'm going to hold and not put it into the record. Actually, I would like to call Ray Maroney. Sorry. Here, cut through there. You go that way.
Over here.
Squeeze over behind her.
Watch the equipment underneath.
Yeah, I couldn't move the screen to the last, but
to do that yet.
What are you asking for, Mr.
Morroni?
I actually, please state your full name. Do you have his full name for the record? Okay, please, thank you.
Sir, would you raise your right hand, please? Thank you. Do you swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, please state your full name for the record.
Raymond A. Maroney, Sr.
And your address?
15 Smith Drive. It's considered Bridgeton, New Jersey, but I actually live in it's Upper Deerfield Township, Cumberland County.
Okay. So am I correct that you drove down this morning from New Jersey to attend this hearing?
Yes.
Why?
I met Mr. Torres back in April. Mm-hmm. And he impressed me, you know, with his seriousness of taking his job responsibility. And at the time, well, I still am, I'm looking to purchase a home here in Greenwood, and it's a bank-owned home that, like, happens to some bank-owned homes that's been broken into, vandalized. They've taken pretty much everything out of the house that you can sell for salvage. And so realtor and the electrician were visiting the house, and Mr. Torres stopped there to inquire and make sure that they're, you know, God bless you, that, you know, they got a legitimate reason to be at the home. And my realtor told me this later on. And then I was down there in May at the house showing another contractor, and Mr. Torres stopped, and it was doing a septic inspection that the bank requires to do, the lending bank. And so he inquired what was going on, and I got the meeting. And we talked some, and he had the investigation or inclination of what was going on. He gave me a little insight into it. Again, back down in the house on Memorial Day, and Mr. Torres stopped in, and he said he had been terminated, and he said that he was requesting a public hearing. And he said, you know, if I would like to come down, and if he thought that, you know, that Mr. Torres was doing his job, doing a good job, and that I, you know, would mind coming down and just testify like I'm doing now. And I said, yes. I said, I'll come down. And I'm good for my word, and I'm here.
You are.
I see some of the bigger picture going on, like you alluded to at the end of your last witness. And, you know, only thing I'm here to do is say, I think, you know, he was doing his job. And I probably would not want to be, you know, terminated that way myself. But if I was doing, you know, I retired from 34 years in retailing, and I've seen a lot of stuff go, you know, happen in corporate. I was in corporate myself. But I'm only here to say that I think Pete is an upstanding person who was doing his job. And that's pretty much it.
The property in Greenwood, was he doing something at your house? Was he doing something official at your house? What would
he was checking to see why we were there.
Keep going, I'm sorry.
You know, which is to me, the reason I say, you know, Upper Deerfield Township, Cumberland County, okay, because Bridgeton's got their city police, we got our state police. Okay? And you're not going to see state police unless you call them.
Okay.
So I was surprised that anybody even showed up and asked why we were there.
So he wasn't posting your property or doing something at your property?
He saw vehicles parked in the front of the driveway, and obviously he knows that the house is vacant and it's been vacant. And you know, I personally think that if I spent thousands of dollars to put equipment back into this house, like hot water heaters, ceiling fans, electricity, that it's not taken out the next day. You know, it kind of gives me an extra leverage of security, knowing that it's being regularly, you know, patrolled. That's all.
Okay. And the note that I just got here was that it was a property he had posted in the past.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I mean, the house had been vacant for a while. And, you know, I do. I don't know whether I want to purchase the property because, you know, I know that, you know, I don't think that the sheriff's department's going to be going by the house, checking it in the future. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Okay. And I really don't. I don't have other, you know, further questions beyond that. I believe that you have covered what I wanted you to cover.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, Mr. Willoughby might have a question or two.
You can please step there.
Step
okay. Thank you. Thanks. I'll be brief. Thanks for...
I'm retired. It's been interesting.
I envy you for that.
I was going to meet with a contractor today, but I think that's not going to happen.
All right. Well, I envy you for having the time and being retired to do that. What is the address of the property in Greenwood?
Is this, necessary to the agenda here?
I
don't know...
You don't know the exact address?
Well, I know the address, absolutely. Okay, I just don't know what it pertains to the discussion. It's a vacant house.
Well, you're here testifying to a meeting with...
It's in Greenwood.
I know, but what you don't want to give us the address?
If I put equipment back into it that costs thousands and thousands of dollars, do I really want
somebody... All right, well, let me ask you this way. Okay, what time of day was it that you met with Mr. Torres at that location?
It was probably in the morning. I know when I was there, it was in the morning. Well, when the electrician was there, it was in the morning. And then when I was there again, I believe it was morning, maybe early afternoon.
Mm-hmm. And do you know when you met Mr. Torres there?
Oh, yes. I met him there in the morning.
In the morning, okay. And do you know the date?
It was definitely before Memorial Day, because I was back down again Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. So let's say it was on a Tuesday, maybe the week before Wednesday. It was a Wednesday. We were going to do it on a Tuesday. I think we canceled and did it on a Wednesday, the week before Memorial Day weekend. I don't carry... Right. Calendars or watches.
And you said it's in Greenwood. Can you tell us the street in Greenwood?
It's Route 30, Route 36.
Route 36 in Greenwood?
Yes.
Okay. And how long did you meet with Mr. Torres that time?
Well, first time I met him, because I know my realtor had told me that he had stopped and questioned him. Mm-hmm. So the first time I met him, we had talked probably for about 20, 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. Which was, good, because if I want to be, a future resident, I'd like to know, where the nearest police station's at and where the nearest fire department's at. And
so Deputy Sheriff Torres was in a county vehicle at that time?
Yeah, yes.
He was in a county vehicle, and you spoke for 25 minutes. Did you meet with him on any other occasions?
Pardon me?
Did you meet with him again, other than that one occasion?
Not till after he had been dismissed.
Okay, so the one time you met with him that he was at work,
yes,
was that Wednesday before Memorial Day?
I would say that Wednesday or the Wednesday prior. I've been down here so many times, I'm not keeping track.
And it was for 25 minutes, and it was in Greenwood off of Route 36, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. All right, you're reluctant to put the address on the record, and I understand that. But I'm going to ask you if you would, after the hearing, after you're done testifying after the hearing, if you would give me the address privately so I can,
yes,
can check that. Is that agreeable?
That's very agreeable.
Thank you. No other questions.
Any redirect?
No.
Okay. Just set. Did the board have any questions? Did any of the board members have any questions?
My only question is, did Mr. Torres said again at any time that he was representing himself as a police officer for any reason? Or did he tell you that he would protect your house, or was he just there as a friend?
No, he told me, that he was the deputy sheriff. He was in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why I said that later on when I found out he was dismissed, I feel he was, doing mm-hmm. more than, a good job. I mean, like where I live at, I don't see any public safety vehicles. I live in not a development, but a neighborhood. And if we want anybody from public safety, like state troopers is all we have.
Well, that was my question.
Oh.
Did he indicate in any way that he would be representing as a police officer or as a state policeman, or was he just there as a friend? Because that makes a big difference to the county, because they have advised him that he was not to represent himself as a police officer.
Well, I would have to say that since we've just met, I can't say that he was a friend, okay? Mm-hmm. But, I know that, he was there just over, making his patrols or making, covering the area, and he was just looking out because he's familiar with the house being vacant. So if the house is vacant, I think it's, pretty much common sense that it's been, he knew it. He knew that the house had been burglarized.
I guess what I'm asking in a roundabout way is, if it had been burglarized, would you expect him to take action as a police officer, or did he give you that impression?
You mean if a burglary was in process?
No, if in other words, you said that you felt safer when he was out there with a county car, and his job description really doesn't cover that sort of thing, to watch out for your house as if it were burglarized. My only question is, would that be something that you would expect him to do? Would you expect him to protect you in the future against vandalism?
Well, now that, I understand now, after hearing a lot of talk, I guess, that the Sheriff's Department isn't, say, keepers of the peace, so to speak, not public safety. And I am familiar with, our Sheriff's Department in New Jersey, and that, if I need assistance for public safety purposes, I have to call the state troopers' barracks. But on the other hand, if I want to have a comfort level where I live now, in New Jersey, saying that I'm getting, a public safety type person, a sheriff. Our sheriffs don't patrol anything, and neither do our state troopers, So I'm kind of on my own, Our neighbors look out for each other. So it gives me a comfort knowing that I've got somebody who patrols the area regularly, and I guess even as just a public citizen, if you see somebody going in through the window of a house, that somebody's going to call the state troopers' barracks or the official police of the neighborhood. Is Greenwood Police authorized, I would think, to go, 3.6 miles out of the city?
I'm not certain.
Well, I know our Bridgeton Police is not authorized to go into the township where I live, so I have to call the state troopers' barracks. And, so I'm just thinking, I have an extra level of comfort if I'm ever going to be a resident of Greenwood, and that's why I came here, because I felt, he was doing, maybe he was going above and beyond his job. That's why I'm here. It's nice to see people go above and beyond the job. Now that I know that the job description, not necessarily, I don't know. I don't know what your constitution is in the state of Delaware.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You answered my question.
Anything else, sir?
No, sir.
Okay.
Okay. Your next witness.
I actually just have a question in terms of your purpose for the address.
I'll talk to you about it afterwards.
That's all. I'm not going to do it. I've got my next witness.
Yes.
Is pointing at me. He disappeared. Yeah. I'd like to call Justin Whitaker.
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Justin Whitaker. I live at 19285 Savannah Road, Georgetown. I am Mr. Torres's neighbor.
Okay. That was my top three questions. Thank you very much. It is my understanding that you have assisted Deputy Torres with jump-starting his car.
On numerous occasions.
Okay.
First time, he had actually come over and asked me for jumper cables. He had mentioned that he had called in, but it's taken too long for a tow truck to get out there, and he asked me if I had a set of jumper cables. So I went out, get the jumper cables, and I just went over and helped him. After that point, I mean, it started happening pretty frequently. I mean, it got to the point where it was maybe at least one, if not two times a week that I was jump-starting the car. And it's not just one car that he had. It was three separate cars that he had. I jump-started at least one of those cars every time. It was more the fact of just helping him out is the reason that I went over to jump. I know it's a lot easier if you have two people, one to start it and the other to jump it. And I've heard a lot of testimony about the car sitting there idling. A lot of the times after I've jumped the car, I've worked in the garage for 8 months, and my father-in-law owns the shop. I know that once you jump start a car, that you need that car to sit there and run and idle for a little while first. That way the battery charges up, and if you leave and the car happens to stall, that it doesn't die. I mean, if it dies, you're dead. It's got to charge up the battery a little bit.
When did you typically help him jumpstart his car?
In the morning, every time. I mean, our kids go to school together. After my kids go to school, I usually go out and have a cigarette. So, and usually as I'm sitting out there, I hear fumbling around, and I look, there he is, trying to get something going.
And when is the last time you jump-started his car?
The last time I jump-started his car was his last day of work, the white car. I went over there. He told me, he says, called somebody, they haven't been out here. I went over there. I helped him jump-start the car. I said, you know, you better let us sit here and run. He says, no, I'm late. I've got to go. This crap's going on. So he left. He told me later on that day that car died going around the circle.
Did you know that Deputy Torres got a new battery in his vehicle?
At the time, there was a jump-starting period where it kind of slacked off for maybe a couple weeks, but then it was almost immediately that it started right back up into the same scenario that it was before.
Okay, and what was the frequency before the battery replacement that you were jump-starting his car?
It was like between one time to two times a week, sometimes more. I guess before the battery died, there was three or four times a week that we had jumped it.
Okay, and you did say that the car would idle after you.
Yes.
Did the jump start. That's actually all the questions I have at this point.
You're Mr. Torres' neighbor, is that correct?
That is correct.
And you said that your children go to school together?
That is correct.
Is that Georgetown Middle School?
Yes, it is.
It is. And you said you helped him jumpstart the vehicle. I assume that's over a lengthy period of time?
Yes.
Okay, and starting when?
I'm not exactly sure when the first time was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say it's probably been 5-6 months ago, or maybe even more. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure when the first time was.
Mm-hmm. And how many county vehicles did Mr. Torres have that you're familiar with?
Three that I can remember.
Three you can remember?
Yes.
Okay. And you said that did he come over and ask you to jump start the vehicle, or how did you become involved with jump starting it?
He asked me if he could borrow a set of jumper cables, and I went over and helped him jump start the car.
And you said that the vehicle would idle and be running so it could charge up the battery, correct?
I said I asked him to leave it sit there and run for a little bit to charge up the battery.
I don't know, assuming you're not a mechanic, and I'm not either, but...
I have worked in a garage for 8 months.
Okay. All right, good. So the alternator charges the battery, correct?
That is correct.
So if the alternator is not working, it's not going to charge the battery even though the car is running. Isn't that correct?
I have stated that to him.
That's right. So if the alternator weren't working, as he's been telling us, it wouldn't charge the battery, would it?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, did you ever go out and help him jumpstart the vehicle at some location other than at his house?
No, I have not.
Okay. That's all I have.
Any redirect?
No redirect.
Okay. Board, or have any questions? If not, you're excused, sir. Your next witness.
I'm calling Chief Deputy Dennis Limeweaver.
Good
chair's not big enough.
I thought you were grabbing your gun.
I was.
But it was because it was in the way.
I have to sit on the edge here. I can't sit back. Too much gear.
Still more comfortable on the bench.
Yes.
You swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name and title for the record.
Dennis Lineweaver. I'm Chief Deputy of the Sheriff's Office.
And are you Deputy Torres's immediate supervisor?
Yes.
And are you aware of Deputy Torres's daily activities?
Yes.
And have you had any performance problems with Deputy Torres?
No.
Was Deputy Torres ever insubordinate?
No.
Did you ride to the March 27th meeting with Deputy Torres?
Yes.
Okay. And what happened that morning?
That was an issue with a bill that was going to be possible.
Well, before you get to that, I'm sorry, I just want to make sure that did you, at the sheriff's office, was there a meeting that morning?
Yes, we had a staff meeting that morning. I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question.
Okay. So let's fast forward in time to the, you know, to the beginning of May. Karen Brewington testified earlier that she met with you and Sheriff Christopher on May 3rd and gave you sticky notes or gave you a report, a GPS report, and then it had notes on it of dates. Did you verify the whereabouts of Deputy Torres on the dates that were given?
Yes.
Okay. And how did you verify?
Well, looking at the specific dates that she had on the sticky notes and with the document that she had given GPS report, myself and Sheriff Christopher went back to his office and we spent the whole afternoon, the rest of the day, looking over those documents and those dates and then trying to track down his whereabouts and people he contacted according to those sticky notes. And I contacted, was able to get a hold of Chief Longo Bridgeville, who confirmed that Deputy Torres was in Bridgeville on the specific times, and also Troop 5 Secretary Laura Stevens-Willie, that he had been there to drop off documents also in the Bridgeville area.
Okay. You were satisfied that, or were you satisfied, that the daily log was accurate as to where he went?
Yes.
On the daily log, there is, and I talked about this morning, there's a section called, or a column called folder.
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me how that might, how the folder might be different than the actual address?
Well, what it means on our daily activity report, the folder is each deputy, the Sussex County, we've broken it down into like sectors, and each deputy has numerous towns. A couple of the areas, the west side from south of Bridgeville all the way down to Delmar, going towards just west of Gumboro, is one officer who handles that large area. Then the area that Deputy Torres was handling at the time ran from just west of Georgetown, going over to the southern end of Bridgeville, all the way to the Maryland line, all the way up the Kent County line, clean over to Milford, clean to the Delaware Bay, just north of the Milton Lewis area. That was his area. And the folder, each town, there's a specific folder, and it's every document that's with that address, with that town, it gets placed into the folder. That's what the folder means.
My understanding, and you're going to have to correct me on this if I'm wrong, is that the folder is for documents for that that originate in that township, but that the actual service address could be different.
That's absolutely correct.
How often does that happen?
Very often.
Okay.
A lot of times we get documents don't have addresses that say homeless or unknown, so we have to research the person's name through what little bit of capability we have with the computer system through Delgis, and then other resources. From working your area, you get to know the local people pretty well. So, you know, we depend on, you know, the local municipalities, EMS, fire departments, the mom-and-pop stores, numerous
You said that you actually get some sometimes that say homeless?
Absolutely.
Or an incomplete address? So there's research involved in that?
That's correct.
Time-consuming?
Very time-consuming.
Okay. The actual showing that says you could have a homeless person, okay, could come out of a folder that says Bridgeville.
Yes.
And you're trying to find the last known address or best address for that person, and that may or may not be in Bridgeville. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Do you always drive the same car?
Not always. Just depends. We've had quite a few problems with vehicles staying running. Some of them have high mileage, lost the transmission out of one. And then, like I say, we've been having numerous problems with the cars dying since the installation of the GPS units.
Okay. Does anyone ever take over your route?
Technically, I don't really have a route because my overall position is running the daily activities of the staff, the secretaries, and the deputies scheduling. Sometimes the workload might be a little heavier. Scheduling family court runs for the evening runs because we have to attend family court every afternoon about 5 o'clock to see if they have any emergencies, documents to be served.
If a deputy were not keeping up with the documents that he needed to be serving, would that be brought to your attention?
Yes, it would, and I would know, personally, I follow up on those things all the time as part of my duties to make sure that we're giving the service that is needed and required by law firms and the courts.
And you did not have that issue with Deputy Torres?
No, I did not.
Okay. That's all my questions at this point.
You are the chief administrative person in the office, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the department has a responsibility to serve papers for the courts. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, say again?
The sheriff's department has the responsibility to serve papers, writs, subpoenas, that sort of thing for the courts?
We serve numerous documents for the courts and out-of-state documents for courts and law firms and numerous law firms here in Delaware, yes. Mm-hmm.
So is it important that there be accurate records of when documents are served?
I'm sorry, say again.
Is it important to you as the chief administrative person in the department that when one of your deputies serves paperwork, that there be an accurate recording of the time when he did that?
Yes.
Okay, so I can get out the daily logs if you want me to, but you talked a little bit about the folders. There's a column with a time listed on that daily log report, correct?
Yes, sir.
And is it expected that the deputy will accurately record the time on that daily log?
Yes, sir.
And that's because that's an official court record, right? So if that time is wrong, there could be consequences to people who are parties to the litigation process.
For the return sheets, that's what needs to be documented correctly. That's
right.
Correct.
So when we go down all those daily log sheets that were completed, and where the time entries are there by Deputy Torres, it is expected that each of those times will be accurate. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, if you're the person who also submits the overtime records to the county for payment, correct?
I sign off on those, and then it goes to my office manager. And then she makes copies and then sends the original to HR.
Okay, you sign off on them, but doesn't the deputy prepare the document and give it to you?
That's correct.
And so it's their responsibility to give you the backup to go with that overtime request, correct?
Yes.
And that form, you know, we can look at it if you want, but it says specifically that if a deputy is on leave that day, for example, they're supposed to tell you and give you that document.
Yes, sir.
And you know that that's important because if they don't make 40 hours of actually working time, they're not entitled to time and a half, correct?
Correct.
Okay. In connection with the daily logs, again, those are also prepared by the deputy, correct?
Yes.
And do you look at those in connection with the requests for overtime that a deputy is making?
Yes.
Okay. So you rely on the accuracy of those daily log reports that the deputy gives you, correct?
That's correct.
Now, I know that you say that you don't believe that the GPS is accurate. Is that what you're saying, correct?
I believe what I said was I believe there's some discrepancies with GPS
right,
at times.
But largely, it's accurate. Don't you agree?
Largely, I would agree that it is accurate.
Okay. Now, if hypothetically a deputy falsified a daily log and recorded information about timing of a service, for example, that was untrue, would you not agree with me that that would be grounds for dismissal?
I wouldn't say dismissal, but I would bring it to the sheriff's attention, and then we would go from there as far as what okay. disciplinary action we would take.
All right, would be grounds for discipline, correct?
Like, that's what I would do, sir.
You would it'd be grounds for discipline, you said?
I would speak with the sheriff about the incident, and we would decide what kind of disciplinary action we would, what course we would take.
And if it happened repeatedly in an audit of those records, would you think that's pretty serious?
That would be very serious okay. if it was repeatedly.
And that might be grounds for dismissal, might it not?
It might.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned that you were here on for the council meeting on March 27. I recall that testimony?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, that was a county council meeting, correct?
Correct.
And at the end of all the county council meetings, there is a public comment period, correct?
Yes.
So Sheriff Christopher arranged to have his supporters come to that meeting to state opposition to legislation that was being introduced in the Delaware General Assembly that might have an impact on the sheriff's powers. Is that correct?
I don't know if he arranged people to show up. But we were there and concerned as the office to you know what's going on with the sheriff's office. Yes,
well, he knew about it at least. If he didn't arrange, he certainly knew that there were going to be people there to testify in the open portion of the meeting in opposition to the legislation. Correct.
You would have to ask the sheriff. I have no idea what he knew or didn't know, sir.
Well, you came to the meeting, didn't you? And he was there.
I was at the meeting, yes, sir.
Well, you knew that, didn't you?
That the meeting was going to, everybody, I mean, the public is aware of it, yes.
And you knew about that the public was going to, there were people were going to make comments about that legislation?
I had no idea who was going to be here or how many people.
Well, but didn't you know there were going to be some comments, or why would you be here if you didn't think there were going to be public comments?
Why would I be here?
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm with the sheriff's office, and there was a concern with this bill that could severely damage the sheriff's office.
Okay.
I had some concerns.
All right, so you knew there was going to be
you're talking about history in the making.
All right, so you knew that there was going to be some commentary about that bill?
Possibly. Didn't know who would show up.
Okay. Well, and you came in uniform?
That's correct.
Okay, and you were being paid by the county?
That's correct.
And how many deputies came to that meeting?
I got to stop back and think. There was myself, Deputy Torres, Deputy Wright, and Deputy Wilson.
Okay, so Deputy Torres was one of those people who attended?
Yes.
Okay, and he was in uniform?
Yes, he was.
And he drove a county vehicle here?
No, I drove the county vehicle here. He was in my vehicle.
Okay, came in your vehicle?
Along with the other two deputies.
Okay, yeah, so the two other deputies came with you in your county vehicle?
Correct.
Okay, and were they ordered to be here?
I'm sorry?
Was former Deputy Torres ordered by the sheriff to be at the meeting?
Not that I don't remember any direct order for them to be here.
Okay, so are you aware that he has given written statements to the county that he was ordered to be here, and that's why he should be paid not only his 2 hours for being here, but he should be paid overtime? You're not aware of that?
I was aware of that, yes.
Okay, well, that's not true, though, right? You're not aware that there was an order by the sheriff.
Like I said before, I don't recall anybody giving any order.
Okay. Anybody. That includes Sheriff Christopher.
To my knowledge, I did not hear anything. Yes, sir. Right.
So weren't you concerned when you got back the report from Mr. Lawson that Mr. Torres had put in for overtime that day and claimed that he was ordered to be here? Were you concerned about that?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Did you tell Mr. Lawson that it's not true that Mr. Torres was ordered to be here?
Did I tell Mr. Lawson that I said he was ordered to be here?
No. Did you tell Mr. Lawson the opposite, that Mr. Torres's statement that he was ordered to be here was not true?
I don't remember saying that, sir.
So you didn't tell him that?
I said I don't remember if
okay.
I said that or not.
Fair enough.
Sir, to be honest with you.
Did you ever find out where Mr. Torres was going when he was going to Fruitland Avenue?
Fruitland Avenue is the first time that I heard of that address was today. Okay. Anything I was aware of was his home address and Wilson Hill Road address. That's the only thing that was ever asked of me.
Okay.
Why he was at these locations.
And that was Mr. Malik's address, it turned out?
I believe that's who it was. I'm not real sure.
Did you ever speak with Mr. Malik about that?
I've said hi to him and introduced myself, I think it was Friday of last week and then this morning.
Okay. Well, during the course of this, Mr. Torres went there something like 8 times. You never had conversations with Mr. Malik about what Mr. Torres was doing at his home during the working day, did you?
No.
Okay. I think that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Any redirect?
Yes. Mr. Willoughby asked you about the importance of time on a daily log, and I thought I heard, but I may not have, so I want to clarify. The daily log is not a court document. Is that correct?
No, it's just an office document to where we can try to see what kind of work they're doing, keep things in line to that respect.
Okay. So the returns are actually the official court document?
Correct.
Okay. And he also, Mr. Willoughby also asked you about daily logs being inaccurate, and if you knew that the daily logs were inaccurate, that would be a problem. Were you satisfied that the daily logs were accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Earlier, Karen Brewington, when she was testifying, they were looking at the GPS report for March 27th and said that when they were working through it, they said, does it show that did the GPS show that he was here for the county council meeting? Did you just testify that your vehicle was the one that was here?
That's correct. I drove the other three deputies that were with me right here. We parked right over here in front of the bank over here.
Okay. And as a point of clarification on the order for the March 27th meeting, I'm reading from SC5, which is Deputy Torres's letter, and it says, on March 27th, I was directed by my supervisor to attend the county council meeting. That has been changed or wordsmithed into mandated in the termination letter. But Deputy Torres says he was directed the morning of the staff meeting. What happened?
And we just had a meeting of some of our daily activities that were going along, and then spoke about the bill that was going to be supposedly sponsored and introduced here at the county council meeting. We had concerns and things about that, and basically, the sheriff and I just made plans, to be here. And like I said, I don't remember if I gave, again, I don't recall making any direct or mandate order, and I didn't hear the sheriff whether he did or not. Like I said, again, you're talking, it's been a while. I can't remember exactly how or what was said. Something could have been taken out of context as an order, possibly. I don't know.
Okay. But you all rode together here, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, the three deputies and myself, the sheriff came in another vehicle.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I have no other questions.
I'm looking at the letter that Mr. Torres sent, and he said that he was directed by his supervisor to be there, and that if he didn't attend the meeting, he would be insubordinate. So you certainly did not tell him if he came to this meeting, or did not come to this meeting, you would find him to be insubordinate, did you?
Like I said, I don't recall saying anything like that to that nature at all, sir.
And you don't recall the sheriff saying that either?
No, I do not, sir.
And doesn't it give you a little bit of heartburn to think that there's a public issue on a political issue that someone would be ordered by the sheriff department to come and just be in uniform on county time as a show of support? I mean, doesn't it give you some heartburn that someone would do that? That's why you didn't do it.
Well, sir, like I say, I was here on behalf and concerns of the sheriff's office what this bill was all about.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying, wouldn't you agree with me that it'd be improper for you or the sheriff to order a deputy in the department to come to the county council meeting when they had no official role, just to sit there and support, quote unquote, the proponents of some public comments. That'd be improper, wouldn't it? It's county time, county money, in uniform. You know there's a directive that says that they're not supposed to be appearing at such events in uniform, correct?
Well, that was the directive sent down from, the county council persons. But like I said, again, the sheriff is who I answer to at the office. And again, I don't recall making an order or him giving an order.
Okay. Or directive.
Or directive or mandate, whatever you want to call it.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Does the board have any questions of Deputy Lineweaver?
Yes, I have a couple questions. Were you aware of Deputy Torres having so much automobile problems that it wasn't just one vehicle, but it was multiple vehicles?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. Were you, do you have any knowledge where just the one vehicle he had GPS problems, or were there any other GPS problems?
Well, again, like I said, I can't confirm whether there were GPS problems or not. When the meeting May 3rd, when we got the concerns about certain areas, that was basically the first that I had heard. And like I said, again, after going back and doing the research from the GPS documents that they had given us with the stick-em notes of certain dates, the sheriff and I, after spending all afternoon trying to confirm, you know, these things, I was convinced that, to me it was showing some discrepancies of the locations and the times. And I tried to explain that, but apparently I didn't do a very good job.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions from the board? If not, your next witness, please.
Well, and actually, I'd like to revisit time. And the reason you had said we're almost at 4 o'clock, I am going to call Sheriff Christopher, and I anticipate that...
Do you mind coming up to the podium and speak, please? And again, it's because of the global audience.
I understand. I'm sorry. I'm revisiting the time issue because we're at 10:04, and I'm going to call Sheriff Christopher, and I anticipate that that testimony could take a little while. And that this may be, we're not going to finish. So I would actually propose that I call Sheriff Christopher at the next meeting.
Okay. I reluctantly agree with that. I mean, I've got a lot of cross-examination, and to have the sheriff start testifying, I'm not sure if he even finished on direct, but then to start to a cross, that may be lengthy, I think that would be problematic. So reluctantly, I'd say probably is the appropriate time to think about a reconvening date.
Okay. And some of the issues we need to look at, obviously, is availability of this board. We would need to recess instead of adjourning. And we could, with recess and giving proper notice, come back within a three-day period. I think we should give at least 3 days on a notice where it's recessed. What is the schedule of the board?
Thursday's okay with me.
Me too, because my Wednesday's out.
Friday's okay if you had to.
I can do Thursday.
Mr. Willoughby?
I think my Wednesday's out as well. I'm not sure about Thursday, but I'll have to make arrangements if there's a conflict.
Ms. Murray?
Thinking. I believe Thursday's fine for me.
Okay. Mr. Guy? Would that give Thursday give us adequate notice if we recessed and posted immediately today? I'm just trying to think through today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Actually, Thursday is not sufficient time. We would have to go either Friday or into next week.
You need 3 full days?
Mm-hmm. You know, and to be honest with you, there's somewhat of a question since we're recessing the meeting whether or not we could reconvene, but I would rather err on the side of caution for the purposes of public notice.
In the interest, then, of erring on the side of caution, would it be appropriate then to...
Go one week. Yeah, go till
week
from today to finish.
That way we can notice it's 3:50 now. We can notice this afternoon by 4:30. And then I can contact the IT department and have it posted this afternoon.
For continuation.
For continuation.
I can't remember my schedule, but we're going to have to do it. So, I mean, if I have something, I'll just have to reschedule.
You're going to be out of state?
I'll be out of state first the 18th and the 19th.
What about Friday? This Friday? Were you available?
I'll be out of state.
Out of state. When? How many days are you out of state?
I'll be returning on... Wednesday the 20th.
Schedules.
Yeah,
it's tough. Okay, at this point, we look like it would be Wednesday the 20th, you say, would be the earliest date that we could have the entire board back.
Wednesday is suitable for me.
No Wednesday. Thursday the 21st. Since we are beyond, we would be going beyond 1 week from today, why don't... we coordinate schedules with everyone, then we come up with an adequate date. It will be posted, publicly posted, so everyone knows, and the council, obviously, on each side could let their parties know as well.
Okay.
Very good.
We're both okay with that. I shouldn't speak for him. Sorry. Speak for yourself.
So it will be probably, you know, the 21st would be the day that we would be looking at being able to come
what
back.
What would it take to finish today? Would 2 hours do it today?
I don't think so.
Okay. I'd be willing to stay 2 hours to get it done, but...
we have one board member that needs to be to meeting tonight.
Realistically, okay. I don't think that would happen.
Out of the question.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I hate having to continue this at a later time, but it looks like realistically that's all we're going to be able to do is to come back at a later date to conclude. Like I said, we will have Mr. Guy, we'll be in touch, and what we'll do with the attorneys and I will talk and the board members, give me your times, and then we'll circulate and get a definite time and get it posted. Okay. Seeing that we're at a time that's ideal to stop, it would be appropriate to have a motion to go in recess and reconvene the hearing at a to-be-determined date that will be posted.
We need a motion to suspend it, to terminate the meeting and to reconvene?
It would actually be to recess the meeting.
To recess the meeting and to come back at a date to be announced.
I make a motion that the hearing for Mr. Torres be recessed and to be reconvened at a date to be determined.
Second that motion.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carried.
Okay. And again, thank you for the conduct today, both sides.